So we're holding here in Nesiva Isher, in the second parak. And let's see.
Can I ask a question as we start? Sure. The last time?
Yes.
When over again to have Kuf Kramin and for the morale to say that that's Midas Distakus seems hard to understand. It seems like it's Ashiris Muflegis Ma'oid. What's the Maharal mean?
First of all, I don't exactly know how many kromim you need these days to make a living, but you know, with today's prices, maybe Kuf Kromim is just making it. But seriously, this man, the Omar, is not pointing out to the Stapkus part of it. His point is that whatever Ashiris a person has, seeing it as coming from Birkas Hashem is a significant piece. And in other words, he explains the number of Kuf is something which is indicative of Birkas Hashem. That's a significant point. So the Kuf Kramim, Kuf Avadim, so on, means he has a sense, his Ashiris, that it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not me myself. Okay, we're holding, I think, Hefech HaMidah Zois?
Yeah, that's what we're holding.
Hefech HaMidah Zois. Mi she'ena lo tizba oisha v'tomid hu roitza oit. The Hefech is someone who is never happy and always wants more. V'hi HaMidah HaMeguna b'yoisa hu mevi la'odam chisar in harbe af b'meshe yeshle v'roilei. This is a very bad Midah because it brings to a person a chisorin, even that which he has. Kedisan sech the suka soita perikamo, very famous gemara Tana Rabbana. It says soita nosna inel b'mashayina shelo. She longed after that which was not her. Mashabiksha lo nitan lo, that which she wanted, desired, wasn't given to her. Umasha b'yorin, that which she has nitamena, because soita is also to becomes also to baal also. So she loses both. She becomes also a baal boil. She doesn't get what she went after, and she loses what she has. V'chein matzina b'nochash akadmoini, she'nosen eino b'mashena shaloi, mashe mevakesh lanita loi, mashe orinit lemene. Same thing with the nochash. Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu, ani amarti yehi melech al kol behema v'chayo, achshav or yeh b'kol achayis. Ani amarti yehi b'koy meskufa, achshav koni yelech. Ani amarti yehi macholei ka'odam, achshav orfa oichol, So he's going to explain. So Chazal point out to a certain pattern that people who hanker after things that don't belong to them, they lose both. They'll never get what doesn't belong to them, and they're going to lose what they have. The kol zeh. What's the pshat net? Why? Ki kol echad roi ladav miyuchad. Bekasha eina shel adam masha eina roi loy in kein hu yoytze masha roi loy. Ki oyse dav sheisha ein roi loy misha yesh loy hadav shumevake sheyeh. Olefikach oyse shumevake shadav sheisha ein nitin loy. So the morale says the following. The person who is looking for other things, every item of rechush in the Bria has a place that it's supposed to fit into. It's supposed to snap into it. And the if it belongs to Reuven, there is no way that Shimon can attain it. He might attain it technically, but let's give it a marshal. Let's take it out of the realm of wealth. Let's go to something else. Let's say somebody is very jealous of somebody else's position in a company, in a yeshiva, in a city, and he pushes the other person out unjustifiably. And takes it. It'll never be him, because it'll never be his truly, because it wasn't made for him, and it doesn't fit him, and it's not, and he's not going to succeed at it. So he can't. You cannot get that thing with Be'etchem is not a fit. And it's like if everything's tailor made, then if I steal somebody else's clothing, let's say everything is tailor made, I take a look, and one guy seems to be wearing extremely nice clothing. If I steal it, it's certainly not going to look nice on me because it's not standardized. It's tailor made. On the other hand, I can pull away from that which is mine. So if I pull away from that which is mine, I lose that one. And therefore, I can willfully pull away from that which is mine, but there's no way I can acquire that which is not mine. In other places, he speaks about, in Chiddush HaGadlus, he presents another angle to this, which is not austere in any way, that the person has created in himself a chisaron that can't be filled. I'm not meant to have X, Y, or Z. Whether it's a person as a husband, whether it's a chush, whether it's a job, or whatever. So it's not really within me to want to get. I'm not missing that. So what I do by creating in myself a craving for it is that I in fact become a chaser more than I am. I wasn't meant to be a chaser for whatever it is. And that's really, I guess, in many ways, the dividing line between when we say a person luxury goods, it's not. I honestly don't think there's an absolute value. I once was speaking to Adam Gadlad Moid. He was kind of not so known publicly, but he's a very big person, and he said he was talking about his children. This person actually lived extremely simply, but was a man of fair means. He was actually a successful businessman, and he told me, the children, I give my children what they need, and some of them need something nicer because they have a sense of aesthetics, they have a sense of comfort that's real and it's genuine, and I am very, very committed to supplying needs. If it's not a need, it's just because if everybody else has it, why wouldn't I want it, then it's different. Then I have no interest whatsoever in supplying it. The person was a very big balshita, many different areas, but it was a very interesting way in which he presented it. But the moral says the person creates a chisar in himself. I want to remark about something which I always find to be it's fascinating when not only does a vice become popular, it becomes a virtue. A person has items, things, and needs. So if I have shirts, and unless I want to stand and wash a shirt every morning, I'm going to need to have, you know, a fair amount of shirts to be able to change between laundry to laundry. A shirt wears out, I'm supposed to be able to replace it, and so on. There are a lot of person has needs and genuine needs, and so on. I'm not talking about an ascetic that can, you know, live off one threadbare coat, but genuine needs. But it's something else developed in America and the rest of the world in the following, that a person goes to shop not with any need prior to the shopping, but he expects that if he sees nice things, he'll want them. So here I am in a situation where I don't need anything. I look around my house, I have everything I need. And I say to myself, but that's not good, because if I don't need anything, then I'm not going to buy anything. So I'll go to the mall, I'll look around, and, you know, I'll see some nice things that I'll really need. And then I'll be very happy because I can fulfill my needs. I mean, that's the American dream of, I mean, that's the American way of life, where a shopping mall is the place to be. The you know, they have even a name for it, which is astounding. It's called retail therapy. I mean, I don't have a problem with the storekeepers who are advertising their wares. That's fine. That's what storekeepers are supposed to do. And I'm you know, that's. But that a person calls that a therapy. It's his illness was that he didn't have any needs. And Baruch Hashem, he went to the mall. He spent an afternoon. He came back with a few hundred dollars worth of tchotchkes because he found needs. He didn't realize what he was missing. That's an incredible statement. If a person wants to be satisfied, I'll give another mashal. We look at it today. We look at it askance a bit, but people are hungry. They want to eat. Okay, that's fair. You're hungry. You need. A person is hungry and he overeats. That's also within the realm of, you know, that it takes a while for the body to register the fullness and so on. But you take a person who's not hungry, not terribly hungry, but he wants the satisfaction of eating. So let's not go to throwing up, you know, and the Roman, you know, a device for being able to eat more. But I'm going to make it so attractive, so pleasant, that the person will want to eat it, despite the fact he doesn't need to eat it. I had a cousin of mine, that's Israel, not from person, a nice person, but not from, and he retired from his job, he lost his wife, didn't have much to keep him interested in life. And the one thing he liked was actually a very kosher deli restaurant in the place that he lived. But there's a gvul to how much you can eat. So he told me, he lived in Netanya, that he strolls up and down the ocean side so that he can work up an appetite so that he can go eat. So it's incredible. So a person, because he enjoys the taina of being mamali chisarin, he makes himself a bal chisarin. And really, that's what we've done. I once read something fascinating. There was some manufacturer in America. I'm not sure what kufa was. I assume it must have been something like 70, 80 years ago. Some manufacturer in America decided it's much cheaper to manufacture widgets in the Caribbean. You know, you pay the guys nothing, and it's that. The Kachavid, they opened up a big plant in some Farukta island, and they were manufacturing, and things were going fine. And one day he gets a frantic phone call from the foreman that the workers stopped working. And he said, well, what's the problem? Is it money? Is it this? Is it that? Let's figure it out. He said, no. He said, so what is it? He said, well, they told me they don't have anything more to work for. They said they've earned enough money to buy a year's worth of goods. They can't for life and see why they need to work now. Maybe they never will come back. But right now, they're not, they're just fine. And they were at their wits' end. And some bright person came up with the idea that he sent them Sears catalogs. Those days, the big catalog was Sears and Roebuck. That was like the big, fancy, glossy catalog. He gave them all a present, a catalog. And Baruch Hashem, everybody within a short time went back to work really, really hot. But the person creates a chisarin in himself for something he didn't need. So two things happen. When I look at things outside, and that's what I want, I am wanting something that maybe is not mine, and I'll never get it. This is not for me. And I don't have the ability to enjoy that which I have. If the shirt the other person wearing is nicer than my shirt, I can't enjoy my shirt, and I'm looking for a shirt that I'll never be able to afford. Never really, it's not my chelik in this world. It's not what I'm supposed to work with. But again, there is. This is not. I'm not talking about ascetism where you could live and wear one shirt that you won't die. That's true. That's not the meter we're talking about. That's a meter of possibly tzidkis, extra precious. They're not normal. Different people do have different needs. And for some person, a fine thing is a need. He has a very fine sense of aesthetics and so on. But that's the yisod of tzedakah of De Machsoro. That for someone who has a real need, he does need to do better. That's why a person who is wealthy and lived well, it's a mitzvah tzedakah to make him live at a level that he was living before, because that's the level he occupies. Those are real. There's nothing. That's not what we're talking about. But when a person looks around him, and whatever he sees around becomes what he's missing, then we have a real problem. Look, I remember that Yisrael, when I came to Yisrael in 70, there was no such thing as shopping. you know, there were stores. And when you walked in and you said you want to just browse around, I mean, the guy said, well, tell me what you need, and I'll tell you if I have it or don't have it. Like, you obviously needed something, that's why you came to the store. It was kind of, so I once went in to buy a bocha, and I went to buy a present for some cousin had been born, a little baby clothing or something like that. But I remember I asked for a blue, what you call it, and I said, we don't have. And that's it. Didn't bother to suggest. I had to do a suggestion. I told him, you know, maybe have yellow, maybe have this. Okay, maybe. But it was an extreme. It was not pleasant in those days to buy. The guy was doing you a favor by selling. But the idea of going shopping as an activity, that the shopping is what creates the need, was not heard of, rightfully so. Okay, now he goes on to Nunikudet. Ha'adam
Hashanos Hashem Yisbarach.
Yes.
What causes this? Like, I know there's the one Chazal says, Eva Kotana Adam Maspio Marivo. Marivo, was it?
Maspio Marivo, Marivo Maspio, correct.
So if you Maspio, the Chisaron gets better. But there are cloud, what causes the Chisaron? Well, it's different for every time, it's different for every part of the person. What caused the
chisaron? So the chisaron is genuine. Let's take something that's easy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person, his biggest chisaron is mazon, is food. And that's a real need for a person. A person is like fuel, a person needs to eat. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu also built a mechanism of pleasure. So I'm hungry, I eat, not only do I fulfill the need, it's a pleasant enterprise. But now I say to myself, you know, I wish I could have that pleasure again. The only way I have that pleasure is if I feel so hungry. So either I make very, very appetizing food or I wait longer to eat. It's usually because there's some sort of pleasure associated with it. It's one of the problems that when you satisfy certain pleasure, it really, that's what Chazal meant. Maspio Meriva, Meriva Maspio. That there are certain pleasures that the first time you satisfy it, it's very, very satisfying. So now the person wants to do it again and again and again. And so just like the first time you ate that extraordinary, that something tasty, it's phenomenal. And the second time it's excellent. The third time, but it starts losing, and then a person needs to keep upping his, you know, he wants to feel that tainug, and he doesn't have it unless there's a chisaron, so it keeps building up. That's the tainug. When a person goes shopping, so there's a tainug. So a person buys a shmanza of sorts. So maybe there'll be a tainug. Let's say I buy a pillow, a nice pillow, a super duper pillow, I don't know, whatever it is. So there is a comfort when I'm laying down on the pillow, but there's also a sense of, when I possess the pillow, I have a complete set. I have a thing. I was missing. I don't have it in bedwear, and now I have bedwear. More than the physical comfort of laying on the pillow is the sense of possession. Okay, the next nekuda is a new nekuda. Ha'adam ha'shanos Hashem yisparcho oisha yesh lishmosh le'yayurid moisha shaloi. So he said one of the nekudas about Oysher is that it's something which can be removed from a person. In other words, almost by definition, if this thing was not mine to start with and I took it, so now possessing it is a maisa of acquisition, and so it's a connection to me, and it can be disconnected, just like it was connected, it can be disconnected. So he says, Umedrash Rabba, Umikne Rav Hoyel Beiruv Leigod, Halacha Shloisha Matonis Niver Boilo, Zocha Beachasmen Notel Chemdas Koloilo. Zocha bechachma, zocha bekoil. Zocha begvura, zocha bekoil, zocha boisha, zocha bekoil. So there's a musig where in these three matanis, a person can be zochah to all of them by being zochah to one of them. The mashal, the best mashal is like Shlomo HaMelech, where through one of them he was zochah to all of them. The be'emasai bizman shematanis min hashemayim who boals bekoach haTorah. So when this matana comes because it's rightfully his, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given it to him, then it is something which we can say that it's truthfully his. And it comes, so then bracha comes with a package. By the way, just going back to the thing that I said before, where it says he doesn't get what's not his, and isn't that many, many years ago, and this is before I came to Israel yet, so this is in the 60s, I was in a yeshiva that had its share of political intrigue and so on. And at some point, one person pushed another person out of his position in the yeshiva, and took that position. The person who was pushed out happened to be a very big tzaddik, B, an extremely wise person, a really, really wise person, and that position had fit him well. The second person had qualities, but not those qualities, and pushed him out. What happened was that people simply disregarded the official title, and they kept going back to the first person to talk to and to ask, and the shaylos and so on, and the second person was left basically with a sign and empty desk, because that wasn't the right position for him, and the first person was, and it was a very, very, it was an extraordinary display of you can't get what's not yours. It wasn't meant for him, it didn't fit him, and even if he could take over the reins of the business, but he couldn't fulfill the role, and it made no difference to people.
He says, So he's giving us three different inyanim that a person can possess. One is very physical, one is very spiritual, and one is something in the middle. By the way, as a side point, the word gvura that he uses here, which means strength, we tend to translate it with the American or the English language sense of physical strength, which basically is a function of an objective function of how thick the muscles are, how long they are, you know, whatever goes into making someone strong, as if it would be a machine, as if it would be a car, and you want to know how quick they can accelerate. The real measure of koach in a person, in gvura, it would sit closely to the term that we call courage. It includes the willpower of a person to push against odds and difficulties and so on. So gvura in this case is not simply a physical. How tall a person is a physical entity, and that's really shaykh to physical. We're talking here, gvura is it's an emotional state. The person is extremely determined, and the person's ratzon is a very powerful ratzon.
Veinkoch hanefesh univel gamik moshal seichel v'koshan v'gvorim l'sol. V'kshanu seichel be'echot ke'elu kilu zoche b'kulam. B'meh she'elu shlesh chalukim mischab b'myachad. U'bekoach ha'echot u'akol ki m'shiyev sh'lus z'losoy. L'kach kol echot nechshav akol u'lekach em seichel be'echot kilu zoche b'kulam. So, the first point Chazal are saying are that the person is interconnected. And therefore, if you get one of the milas, the other ones come along. They're conjoined. The Maral explains this as the concept in mitzvah gereres mitzvah. Why does a mitzvah schlep along another mitzvah? Why does doing one mitzvah schlep along another mitzvah? And the answer is because it's similar. It says in the Zohar that mitzvahs are different limbs of a body, kaviyachol. So if I drag your hand, your foot comes along also, because it's one body. If I drag your hair, the rest of you comes along, because it's one body. Doesn't change. So because these middos of a person are interconnected, the physical, the emotional, and the intellectual / spiritual are connected to a person, so having any one of those middos will bring the other middos on as well. The Oma Emasai Bismanshav and Hashem Yisbroch Ubozker Shatera Ki Kol Olam Nivram B'Teira K'mashbaran Mokam Echad Shratzoloyma K'Teira Hiseid Hashem Yisbroch Ubozidas Olam V'Kasher Bolo Echad Men B'Koach HaTora V'Aseid Hashem Yisbroch Asher Lozeh Nosan Hashem Yisbroch Chochma Nosan Gvuro Zeh Taisha V'Chol Dover Shehu K'Seida Yesh Lo Kiyo V'Chol Dover Sheh Yoytzim Naseida V'U Shinui En Lo Kiyo ולכך כשהם לאודם מצד עצמו, שבכוח הגיע לזה, ואין זה שם יספרח כל דובר שהוא שלא יקסד או שני בין הקיר. So this is again, you saw Gmar says many places, that those things that exist unnaturally don't keep existing. So if any of these things, if the person started the process, and the process of owning world is based on something that's yotzim in a seder, that which a person was not supposed to have, and so on, then it doesn't work for him. Anything which a thing that snapped into place lasts. So just like if you teach a person some trade or something, and it's in line with the person's abilities and so on. So if you teach music to a musically gifted person, a musically inclined person, he will be a musician, and it'll stay with him. If you force it on somebody else, he may have been coerced into learning it, but it's going to disappear. It doesn't last. I'm proud of myself because I made myself the X, Y, or Z. That's not really a cause for pride. Because if you made yourself, meaning you did not have the innate inclination for it, the ability for it, then basically it's not Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you, it's not going to stay by you. But if this is you, and this is your Metzias, this will last because it's part of something that fits you. Anything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, so the point he's making here is anything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us means it fits us, it's suitable for us, so it stays. Masha'en came those things that we engineered for ourselves, meaning almost by definition it should not by right have been mine, then it's not. When a person knows and understands the Kashbrahu and is close to the Kashbrahu, that the Zeo Tachtis had Saks Odom, Hashem Hashem Isparach. Lefika Kasha Ilu Matonis Hemin Hashem Isparach, Hashem Sidel Lov Dova Zer, Gam Ken Kir Hashem Isparach, Hashem Seda Loiki Nesna Matonis Elu, Vosna Shot Kilozochum Kolon Pulu, Viesh Dova Zekir. Voi Kasha Inla Milos Elu Mitzat Zer, Hashem Isparach, Hadova Zenechshav Tesefis. Behold Tesefis, Kenotal Dami. This is another nekuda. It's a variation of the first nekuda, that the klal is kol yesek kenotl dami, that anything that is extra is not seen as being linked. For instance, if I hire somebody in my firm, let's say my firm is doing very well, and I hire somebody that I really don't need him in the firm. You know, just sort of carelessness, oversight, goodness of my heart, whatever. That person, the question is when he's going to get fired, not if he'll get fired, because he doesn't have a kiyum, he's extra. Anything that is not organically part of something is doomed to be expelled, left out, and so on, because his mitzvahs are not natural. Those things that have a natural mitzvahs, it lasts. Those things that don't last. There's a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam says that there are two types of nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are what we call the extraordinary nisim, like the matter. The Rambam speaks about the matter that becoming a nochash and then reverting back again to a matter. And all of the things he did reverted back again to the original. So Nal says the following. If in the Nisim that we're talking about is the supernatural, what we call miracles, those miracles are seen in as being the exception, and that's why the matter that became a Nachash must revert back to the matter. Whereas the nisim HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol yoyim, nature and the cross of nature, it's the consistency and the eternity of it that makes it into a pella, that never ever has the law of gravity ever been broken, and so on and so forth. Let's go back to that thought process. So Rambam says that the Rambam's reason that he gives is, he gives a practical reason. He says, imagine if the matter would have become a nachash and stayed a nachash. So instead of seeing it as a miracle, people would say, well, this is a transition. Matels become nachashim at some point. Water becomes dam at some point. It's the next phase of it, and everything else will follow suit someday, and so on. That's the way people could have seen it. So now if they see it was water yesterday, water tomorrow, and today it's dam, that makes it into a next. That's the Rambam. I'd like to say the same point with a different hesber. Everything falls back to its nekuda of creation. Chazal says, "Roik zoik chutre bavira a ikr koi." Throw a stick. In other words, a tree sapling that made it to a stick. Throw it up into the air. It will stand on its root. In other words, it will flip over and regain its original structure. So nisim and eflos that distort the teva can only be temporary, almost by definition. Because it's not the real metzias of it. So a ness is there as long as I need the ness. I need the ness. But by definition, the ness is a temporary aberration. Things that have their real metzias, that's where it remains. And that's the famous pasuk. Everybody says, you know, that if the chinuch that you have given to the child is a pidarko, it's not going to change over time, because you haven't foisted something on him, you haven't pasted something on him or taken it away from him. You've given him his self, and you've brought out the person. So why would it change? This is who he is. Masha Inkin, if you try to have the person be something else, then you, as long as he's under your domination, you may be able to get your way, but it's not going to last. I think I read a while back, I think it's famous about, they tried to raise a boy as a girl or a girl as a boy. It was like kind of, I don't know if it was a medical issue or it was something which they, as liberal parents, had decided to do, and you know the frustration of how the child sort of found himself back to what he should be. This is his mitzvah. That's what he's doing. So he's saying if a person is zeicher to a matanim et Hashem Yisbarach, then what he's done is he's returned the matanim to its proper place. And therefore, it's going to stay there, because this is where it belonged. It may have had a rocky road to get to him, but this is where it belonged. If the person has gains, and again, we're talking about, it could be learning also. A person tries to present a facade of learning that he's not, a derech, whatever it is. It's also not going to happen. Because the person can't be what he's not. The only thing a person can do is he can lose that which he is by rejecting whatever it is that he is. He can lose that. Any questions? Okay. So let's have a good Shabbos, and then we'll be back next week.
Good Shabbos, Yishuvah.
Bye.